If you are talking about it, he's talking about it. And if he's talking about it, it's worth talking about. Richard Dixon on Birmingham's Real Talk. Talk 99.5.
Hello, hello, hello. Tis I, Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Still the same svelte guy you know and love even after all this pandemic shutdown. Well, svelte is a strong word, but I still fit into my clothes, which is important. I really, really love Way to Wellness and what they've done for me. 65 pounds off. Some of it came back, of course, but I'm managing it so much better now as a result of learning a few tricks from Way to Wellness. If, like me, you have spent your life fighting a slow metabolism and unable to eat like normal people. I mean, if I ate like normal people, I would balloon up like nobody's business. It's just the way my body is. Way to Wellness helped me get it all under control. Showed me how by eating six times a day, staying focused, keeping the fat out, doing more whole plants and things of that nature, how I can actually take the weight off and keep the weight off. And I have done so, and I thank them profusely for that. A planforme.com. It's physician supervised, and it really works. Hey, John Bird has lost over 20 pounds as a result of this in about 5 weeks. He says he's staying pretty steady at 5 pounds a week, which is good for him because let me tell you something, that guy was a fat tub of goo to start this year. Way to Wellness. I'm sure Way to Wellness is like,
tell us how you really feel about it.
See if you can fit in the words fat tub of goo in our commercial. That's Way to Wellness. They're like, if you can get that in, maybe alluding to one of your coworkers, that would be awesome. Aplanforme.com, 994-2393. The initial consultation is, as always, free. Let's check in with our buddy. He's from Newsmax TV, Conservative Review, American Spectator. His name is Jeffrey Lord. Hello, Jeffrey, and welcome to Monday. How are you?
I am just fine. I am not a fat pot of goo, but no. That's good.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. You have managed to remain svelte and in good shape, even in your, what do they call, silver years? Is that what we're calling them now?
Yeah, exactly. That's good. Sort of like the Lone Ranger.
There you go. Let's talk about some of the stuff that is trending right now. Well, Neera Tanden, probably not going to be the OMB director. Not to get too deep into the weeds, but this is a woman who was extremely partisan and was tweeting a lot of really negative stuff. And if you're going to be the director of the Office of Management and Budget, you kind of have to get along with both parties. And apparently she ticked a lot of people off. And then she ended up deleting something like 500 tweets before her confirmation hearing started, which is never a good look, right?
Shades of Hillary Clinton. First of all, I thought she was a sort of odd pick for that particular job. I thought if they were going to have her, they'd have her on the White House staff, as it were. But running OMB is a... You know, the kind of thing that geeks like David Stockman did in the Reagan years and
right.
People who are really into this. Maybe she is into it. I don't know. But I thought it was an unusual pick. And then this gets to the principal thing of vetting. The people on the Biden team should have taken a look at all this stuff and said, this is probably not a good idea. But instead, they went forward with it, which in its own way tells you something about the Biden team.
It does, but juxtapose that with the person who is in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee today, which is Merrick Garland. While they did not act on his nomination to the Supreme Court in the last year of the Obama administration, the fact is the guy is universally well thought of. Republicans and Democrats alike both say, all right, well, you know, he doesn't always rule my way, but I believe that he's even-handed, and he's the kind of guy who I think would make a good attorney general. Neera Tanden's not getting anywhere near that kind of law. I wouldn't be surprised if Merrick Garland ended up going, you know, 90 to 10 or 92 to 8 or something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's entirely possible. The big question, I think, for Merrick Garland or anybody who's going to take this job, what have we been filled with and throughout the Trump years? We've been filled with these allegations that the bureaucracy, the quote-unquote deep state of the Department of Justice, has been involved here and there and everywhere in efforts to stop Donald Trump from being elected in efforts to make his life miserable once he was president. You know, really establishment stuff. And I think that is the real question for anybody who is about to take this job, because, of course, the other side accused Bill Barr of doing this all the time, when, in fact, he was just trying to get answers, in my view, as to what happened. So
sure.
we will see what happened. Now, I think I'm right that Merrick Garland says he has not spoken to President Biden about Hunter Biden. Good thing.
Yeah, I would say. You know, although, you know, the powerful tend to protect their own, and I wouldn't be surprised if nothing came of that at all. In the same way nothing came of Hillary Clinton, who demonstrably engaged in illegal activity. I had to explain to somebody just over the weekend that putting classified information on a server that was accessible, that was not secure, is a crime in and of itself. I mean, that's just that was the tip of her iceberg, frankly, not to mention obstruction of justice, destroying subpoenaed evidence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hunter Biden has got a wealth of problems here, including selling access to the then vice president's office. I guess I'm just jaundiced enough, Jeffrey. I have very little expectation that he's ever going to pay a price for that.
Yeah, call me skeptical in all of this. I do imagine that there's not going to be much action taken here. Hmm. And I mean, what this says about the American system of justice is that there's a double standard, that if you're a Washington elite or you've got the right connections, you're fine. And if you're on the wrong side of the law, you're going to the slammer. I mean,
yep.
For whatever, and that's just not good.
Sad state of affairs. I read an interesting piece last week. I don't remember if it was Thursday or Friday, but John Solomon, whose reporting I have nothing but respect for. This is this to me is the future of the news. This is a guy who plays it straight down the middle. He, Sarah Carter, there's a couple of others out there whose work I respect a great deal. He says there were 20 days during which, on every one of these days, sometimes multiple times on these days, red flags were waved in front of the FBI about this Russian collusion hoax thing, and the FBI ignored every single one of them. They just were not interested in following through, and I think a lot of that goes back to James Comey. This was a guy who was told or actually said in no uncertain terms to James Clapper, we can't verify the dossier. And later that day, he signed a FISA warrant saying that the dossier was verified. Is this guy ever going to pay a price for this? Is anything going to come in the Durham probe?
Well, you know, we keep being led to believe that John Durham is a, you know, straight arrow and is into all the minor details of everything. So I still have a little bit of hope here. I mean, with all this nonsense that's gone on, to not do anything, I think, would be a serious scandal. And I suspect that Durham himself would realize, you know, this would be a negative on his image and the way people think of him. I mean, he would be, in essence, tar and feathering himself, and I don't think that's a good look.
No, nor do I. At the same time, still waiting for... Mike Lindell is being sued by Dominion. $1.3 billion lawsuit.
I saw the reaction. I know Mike, and yeah. I saw his reaction. He is deliriously happy about this,
yeah.
Believe it or not. He believes it is going to give him the space to prove his case.
This could be them handing him the rope to hang them, because there's this thing called discovery, and if he is actually able to show in a court of law that these machines can be manipulated the way that it's been claimed, then A, they not only don't have a case, but B, that becomes the lead story of, I don't know, the year, possibly the decade?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, I've seen Mike's video. I've had a chance over time to chat with him a couple times at this or that event. And, I mean, just think of this for a second in terms of what he does for a living. You have to be extremely detailed. I mean, you know, my only responsibility in life with my pillow is to put my head on the pillow.
Yeah.
If you're going to make this, and you're going to make a whole industry out of it, you have got to know exactly what you're doing. No screw-ups. You've got to be very detailed. I believe that is Mike's mindset here. I just think that's who he is. So the very fact that he is literally celebrating this lawsuit says to me that he is going to come after these people with one detail after another, and that they could well regret this.
Yeah, the whole thing strikes me as a desperate attempt to try to frighten people into shutting up. And in the case right. of some places, they have achieved that. You know, you're getting apologies issued, and we'll be good. And, yeah, Mike Lindell, not a guy who's going to back down. I don't think Lynn Wood either. Is gonna cow in the face of this. What is the name of Mike's video? I know it's 3 hours long, and I haven't seen it yet. What is it called?
Absolute Proof, I think, is what it was.
Absolute Proof. I went to watch it the other day. It was on YouTube, which I have on my big TV in my bedroom, and I got sucked into a show from 1976 called Celebrity Bowling. And, you know...
I mean, it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah. When you run across Bob Newhart and Ed Ames taking on Fran Jeffries and William Shatner on a bowling alley, that's tough to turn away from. Hold on.
You got a point there.
By the way, they're all terrible bowlers. Hold on if you would, please, Jeffrey. We'll take a quick break and hurry back. It's Richard Dixon, Talk995, Talk995.com. T-Rex. 116 Talk995, Talk995.com. Parrot Structural Services bringing you portions of today's show. They are the foundation guys and girls who know their stuff. They'll fix whatever happens to ail you foundation-wise using one of the many tools that they have in their backpack full of tools. Perhaps you have a slab that's got a crack and they need to drill down through it to get underneath it so that they can prop it back up again. And they get this really cool device that allows them to see through the slab and see where things like electrical conduit might be running or water or sewer lines, just to make sure that they're not drilling into any of those, because that could turn a minor problem into a major problem, right? That's just one of the cool things that they have. The helical pier system made in Tarrant, Alabama, so the money stays local. We love that. Parrot Structural, you got a foundation problem, they're the guys to call. Well, they're the ones I call, and you should, too. Their telephone number, 668-2626, 668-2626. You'll find them online at parrotss.com. We're chatting with Jeffrey Lord of the American Spectator and Conservative Review and Newsmax TV and his own website, thejeffreylord.com. The U.S. Supreme Court has paved the way for a New York City prosecutor to obtain Donald Trump's tax returns and other financial records as part of a criminal investigation. Well, it appears to me, and maybe you know more about this than I do, Jeffrey, that they just rebuffed Trump's request to put a hold on a lower court ruling. In other words, they haven't really ruled on the whole case. They just said, yeah, we're not going to issue an emergency injunction or something of that nature. Am I reading that right, or do you know?
Yeah, I think you are. What's really bad about this? We've been around the world here. We know politics when we see it and all this kind of thing. But I have never seen such a concerted effort by people in the American establishment in its different venues, the law, publishing, you know, on and on and on and on, go the list, with this desire to absolutely destroy somebody who was an American president, or for that matter, anybody. Mm-hmm. It just boggles my mind. And if they get rebuffed here, they're going to find another way to come do this. This is obsession. This is sick. And dangerous. And I sometimes wonder, I mean, President Trump needed none of this, right? I mean, he had a pretty good life going.
Yeah.
And by standing up and really making a connection with lots of Americans, this is the thanks he gets.
You know, this, as much as anything, and I certainly saw that with Congress trying to get their hands on his tax records, and it appears the same situation with this New York City prosecutor, although he may have more to work with. But imagine if, let's say, a district attorney went to a judge and said, we need a warrant. We want to search Jeffrey Lord's house. And the judge says, well, what is it specifically you're looking for, and why do you think that he has it? Well, we just want to get in there and root around a while and see if we can find something wrong. Because that's essentially what they're doing with these tax records. It's like, we don't really have any proof he did anything wrong or reason to believe that he did anything wrong, but we'd like to take a look at the tax records just to see. I don't want to live in that America.
No, me neither. And, you know, what we've lost sight of here, I mean, they try and put the notion out there that this is standard for presidents and all this. Well, this is nonsense. The first president to have his taxes revealed was Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Not a single one of his predecessors, as long as there's been a U.S. income tax, which I think is like 1913 or something like that, has had to open up his taxes for the world to see. So this is, relatively speaking, a new development. And to try and make it seem like he has a legal obligation to do it, he has no legal obligation. The whole purpose of the thing is politics. I mean, that's why people would put their taxes out there. And if recall in 2012 that Senator Harry Reid, the Democratic leader of the Senate, stood on the floor of the U.S. Senate and accused Mitt Romney of hiding his taxes.
Yeah, said he didn't pay any. He didn't pay any taxes. And I'm thinking, and then later when, of course, he released his records and it showed that he did pay taxes, but he didn't win the election, Reid was asked about it. And he said, well, it worked, didn't it? And I'm thinking, so the end does justify
exactly right.
I'm sure the Mormon church is proud of you. Got to be proud of you. The other thing that gets me about this is the press, the cabal of the press that is going out of their way to praise Joe Biden over almost anything. I mean, almost anything at all, including a piece in the Washington Post that claims that Joe Biden is winning praise for his low-key approach to the Texas disaster. First off, I haven't heard anybody praise Joe Biden over his handling of Texas. And secondly, why did the Washington Post feel, I mean, you know as well as I do that if it were Donald Trump or George W. Bush in charge and he didn't call the governor of Texas for 6 days after a blizzard knocked a third of his state offline, they would be, you know, hung in effigy.
Yeah, that's right. Think just for a moment here. The treatment in the media of Ted Cruz for taking his daughters down there, being a dad and taking his dog, his daughters, dropping them off in Cancun and coming back. And the difference between that and the coverage of Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, who is responsible for the deaths of thousands of people that he put in seniors, that he put COVID-related cases into New York nursing homes. Arguably now it's starting to pick up some coverage, but arguably they just didn't care. They were praising Andrew Cuomo to the hilt. What a great guy he is, and maybe he should be running for president and all of this kind of stuff. And then some minor Ted Cruz thing, and they go absolutely ballistic. I mean, that tells you all you need to know.
Oh, yeah.
About this.
Well, as long as we're talking about flying, I mean, there is credible evidence that Bill Clinton took no fewer than 26 flights to Jeffrey Epstein's private island. The press has zero intellectual curiosity about that. They're not looking into it.
They're not doing any digging. You know, Richard, I did a column for Newsbusters over the weekend about Rush Limbaugh, whom I know, who was a friend of mine. And I started with some incidents from the 1964 Goldwater campaign with CBS saying when he was about to be nominated that as soon as the convention was over, he was flying to Germany and was going to be staying in Hitler's old stomping grounds and aligning the American right with the German right and all of this kind of stuff. And there were a couple other doozies there that were just flatly false. Well, the difference between that and now is that because of Rush and because of people like you and because of Fox News, conservative media really exists. And there is a real ability here to challenge all these falsehoods. So, you know, God bless Rush and God bless you every day for getting up and going out there and doing it because it's important.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't think that the The impact that Rush Limbaugh had on the media landscape can be overstated. I really do feel like he opened up a whole new avenue. The Daily Caller wouldn't be around. Ben Shapiro wouldn't be around. We wouldn't have guys like you as guests, and nobody would. Fox News probably wouldn't exist if Rush Limbaugh hadn't shown that there was an immense appetite for the other side of the story. And, you know, we owe him an immense debt of gratitude. But, you know, he was my competitor on the other station across town. So I have less gratitude than a lot of people. Nonetheless, I kid. Thank you, Jeffrey. A pleasure as always. We'll do it next Monday. Have a great week in the meantime.
All right. Thank you. Snowbound.
There you go. Oh, God bless you. Jeffrey Lord, Conservative Review, American Spectator. Back in a moment.
Western Bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say brandy, fetch another round. She serves them whiskey and wine.
According to Starboard's Father, this is the greatest song in the universe.
Yes, Ego did think this was the greatest song in the universe.
You know, it's funny, I have that movie on DVD Blu-ray, actually. And I still haven't watched it again. I've seen it exactly one time. It was a great film.
It hits you so hard in the feels there. It's such a good movie, though.
Oh, it is a good movie, and Kurt Russell is wonderful in it. I wonder, and I'll never know, of course, but I wonder what it's like to be an actor or an actress and have your agent call you up and say, listen, you're being looked at for part of the Marvel Universe. I mean, in my head, dollar signs come up in their eyes and you hear this cha-ching because, you know.
Is it a multi-picture deal? Is it a multi-picture deal?
Yeah, well, I think if you're in, unless you die in that picture, you're probably good to go. And even if you die in that picture, other people will be like, we've seen this person's work and we know them. But do you think Anthony Mackie would be, you know, a multimillionaire today working all over the place if he wasn't tapped to be?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, as my dad pointed out, Chris Evans loves doing the indie stuff, but that doesn't pay well. But Captain America, that pays well. So he can do his Captain America, get the big paychecks,
right,
allow him to do his indie films that he enjoys so much more.
To go off and do New York State or whatever, and Empire State, I think, was some time ago. No, that wasn't. That was Thor, actually. I
same
can't
with
keep
Chris
my...
Hemsworth. Same with Chris Hemsworth.
It was Chris Hemsworth, wasn't it? Yeah, Chris Hemsworth and his brother Liam. 1:30, Talk 99.5, Talk 99.5.com. I am Richard Dixon. It's Monday. Started off as a rainy one, but eventually the sun has come out and it looks like we're going to dry up and it should be a pretty good week. A little cooler than it has been, but if you have desires to get outside, go and do and make and be, this is your golden time. My real estate agent, Monica Thatch, wanted me to talk about selling your home. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful, she said, talk a little bit about people who are trying to, you know, get out from under their house. Look, it's a tight market right now. That is to say, there's not as many homes for sale as there might otherwise be. Well, you know, COVID has changed some people's plans. The pandemic has altered the way people are living their lives. But it also has created a world where there's a lot of people who, at the end of this, are not going back to everyone has to be in the office from 8 to 5. We have started to figure out not only can we do our jobs from home, but sometimes we're even more productive when we do, which is pretty attractive. So now that means you can live anywhere, but the first thing you have to do is get rid of the house that you're in. You don't want to trust that to just anybody. If you run across somebody, I can have your house sold in 3 days. Well, good, they're not asking enough. For the most part, it's a safe bet they're not asking enough, okay? On the other hand, If somebody overprices the house and it's languishing on the market for 90 days or more, you're not achieving your desired results. So the goal is to find that sweet spot right in between. And Monica Thatch of Keller Williams Trustful is your sweet spot person. She's the person who's going to help ascertain exactly how much your house should go for, help market it, help stage it, get it in a position where it is good to go and will sell in a relatively short amount of time for a good amount of money. She can also help you find that dream home of yours wherever it is you want to live. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams, Trustful, she's the one, 229-1865, 229-1865. My real estate agent has made me deliriously happy, and she can be your real estate agent, too. All you need to do is ask. Our phone number here, 545-9950, 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Here is the big stupid question of the day. Finish this sentence. How is it we can land on Mars, but we can't fill in the blank? How is it possible we can land on Mars, but we can't fill in the blank? We can't come up with a low-calorie ice cream that tastes the same as regular ice cream, huh? How is that possible? Because I love ice cream. And I love Halo Top, too. Don't get me wrong. It's just not the same. Once you've had, you know, the Breyers. I ran across a new Breyers a couple of weeks ago. I was just getting over the Rona, and I was like, I deserve this, and I bought it, and I took it home. And it's like a blackberry cheesecake flavor. Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. And once you've had it, I still have, you know, 3/4 of the carton here because I can't bring myself to eat more than a scoop. But man, oh man, once you've tasted that, you're like, yeah, that Halo Top and that Enlightened stuff, good try. But let's face it, you're not quite there, guys. You're not quite there. I don't get it because we have come up with fat-free salad dressing. I can't taste the difference. You could put a taste test for me with, say, Catalina or ranch. Fat-free versus regular, I would never be able to any time I got it right, it would be because of just a luck of the draw, a flip of the coin.
I know this is blasphemy, but would you consider trying the vegan ranch dressing that Hidden Valley's putting out?
No, it's not blasphemy, actually, because for a good long while last year when I was losing all the weight and keeping it off, I was vegan for a couple of days a week, 2 or 3 days a week. I got a little less serious about it, and now I tend to just be vegetarian. I mean, I'll just eat a salad. Sometimes it'll have cheese on it and whatnot. But I don't know. One thing I know about that stuff and all vegan things, really expensive, like much more expensive than the normal kind. So, but we managed to get fat-free dressing that tastes like regular dressing, fat-free cheese, or at least significantly reduced fat cheese that tastes the same as regular cheese. I don't understand how it is we can't figure out how to make an ice cream that pleases somebody like me who likes to eat ice cream but doesn't want to, you know, be a fat tub of goo. That's right, I said fat tub of goo again. That's a callback. Taco Bell has unveiled a new crispy chicken sandwich taco. That's right. Even Taco Bell has entered the chicken sandwich wars. At what point do we just throw up our hands and say, this is Thunderdome. It's a madhouse. The crispy chicken sandwich taco features a piece of crispy tortilla chicken and signature creamy chipotle sauce on folded puffy bread in the shape of an iconic taco. A spicy version is also available. Taco Bell's crispy tortilla chicken is made by marinating premium all-white meat chicken in jalapeno buttermilk, then seasoned with bold Mexican spices, all rolled in a crunchy tortilla chip coating and fried up until golden. You can find this for a limited time in Nashville, Tennessee and Charlotte, North Carolina. They go for about $2.50. This is obviously a test, and hopefully it will become nationwide next year. We'll see. I'm looking at a picture of it, and I'm going to say I'd give it a shot. I'd do the spicy one. I would.
It's got jalapenos on it, so it can't be too spicy.
It's spicy, but it doesn't look like it's over the top, and I like the puffy bread, and it's fried chicken, and it's Taco Bell. And let's put it this way. If everybody wants to go to Taco Bell and I'm not in the mood for tacos, then I'd get a crispy chicken, you know, sandwich taco, and we'd be fine. McAllister has added a new Godiva chocolate double cheesecake because they love you and they want you to die young. McAllister's Deli sweetens up their dessert menu. Godiva Chocolate Double Cheesecake, featuring rich Godiva cheesecake baked with chunks of milk chocolate, topped with chocolate mousse, chocolate ganache, and chocolate whipped cream. The new dessert available by the slice for $4.99. Only 620 calories and 46 grams of fat, friends.
Hey, that's almost my daily allotment of fat in one serving. There you go.
I was going to say, but then it also has 7 grams of protein. So really, it's damn near a health food.
There it is.
Almost a health food. So close to being a health food. Subway unveils a couple of new subs, teaming up with NBA stars Jason Tatum and Draymond Green for the introduction of the new Bacon Tatum and Drapotle steak sandwiches. You know, here's the thing. Last year's NBA championship, lowest rated in the history of the sport. If you ever go back and you get a chance to learn a little bit about the beginning days of the NBA, first off, it's a league that's not that old. I find that fascinating. Secondly, it was not that well received. America loved college basketball, didn't really have a lot of use for pro basketball, and wasn't really paying attention. America was what? A baseball sport. We're all about baseball, right? And so it was a struggle to get the NBA off the ground and moving under its own steam. Last year was the lowest rated since they actually started televising the damn things. Now, that's pretty bad. And it doesn't take a genius to see that it's most likely because, you know, the NBA got all woke and people are like, I'm not paying money to watch people put or even investing time to watch people with, you know, these social slogans on their jerseys and Black Lives Matter painted on the side of the court. You know, I'm interested in a distraction. This is not only not a distraction, this is actually putting me right back in the thick of the political crap that I'm trying to get away from. So what is it that Subway is thinking? Well, let's tie in with the NBA, you know, that league that's kind of on the outs. Seriously, more people watched the Hockey Stanley Cup last year than watched the NBA Finals. That's bad. That's bad. And Subway says, yeah, we should tie in with the NBA. What a good idea. The Bacon Tatum features turkey breast, bacon, spicy jalapeno, lettuce, mayo, red wine vinegar, and black pepper on Italian bread. The Drapotle, which is supposedly Draymond Green's favorite footlong, features shaved steak, provolone cheese, green peppers, red onions, salt, black pepper, and chipotle Southwest sauce on Italian. It's basically a Philly cheesesteak with a little Southwest sauce thrown in. They're called Baller Subs. You can order them exclusively on the Subway app or at Subway.com. That's another thing. Yeah, as long as we're going to tie in with the NBA, let's also make these things hard to get. Let's make them difficult to get their hands on.
Well, make Richard, it so I mean, you... why would you want to be convenient? That makes
we
no
don't
sense
want
with a
bass. It's like Gary Larson's comic about inconvenience stores where you walk in and everything's on shelves like 12 feet off the ground. That's an inconvenience store. Jimmy Dean, who is taking over your grocer's freezer in the breakfast section, if you've ever been there, they've introduced new loaded sausage bites and omelet minis. What exactly is that? Well, it's a little cup of a thing that you are able to microwave. So the loaded sausage bites, sausage, egg, and cheese, and they're kind of in little nuggets, okay? And then you can get those with Meat Lovers, or you can get it with turkey. And then Jimmy Dean omelet minis, bite-sized omelets, sort of the same thing, except they're omelets. Sausage and cheddar or Gouda and bacon. They come in a single-serve microwavable cup that is ready to eat in under a minute. So rush right out to your grocer's freezer and give Jimmy Dean your money, if you are so inclined. Okay, that's all the food talk I've got for you for today. We'll take a quick break. We will come back. We have other things to discuss. So many other things we have not touched upon yet, like, for instance, the Muppets are offensive? Don't go away.
Stir it up.
All right, all right, all right. Richard Dixon, Monday. Don't let it get you down, man. It's a brilliant day. Beautiful out there. My insurance agency, Stead, Denson, and Fuller, would love to give you a quote. Look, this is all they're looking for. A chance to please and serve you. So look at all your insurance stuff. What are you covered for and what are you paying? Then call 414-1476 and tell them, this is what I'm covered for. Don't tell them what you're paying. They don't need to know. Just say, this is what I'm covered for. Can you guys give me a quote? You know what they're going to do? They're going to get back with you within 24 hours and they're going to have a quote. Okay, we can do this for this much. We'll give you this much coverage. This would be the rate. Now, that rate may be the same as what you're paying now, maybe lower. It is unlikely that it will be higher. I'll tell you that right now. Unlikely that it will be higher. Chances are good it will be the same or slightly lower, sometimes significantly lower, depending on who you're with. I can tell you this, having been their client for a number of years, the service is so much better with Stead, Denson, and Fuller, with their office right there on Crescent Avenue in Homewood. It is so easy to get in touch with these guys. And they're your go-between. You're no longer having to deal with some big national company or an assistant to an assistant, which I always find annoying. No, Stead, Denson, and Fuller are going to take good care of you like they've taken good care of me. 414-1476. Make the switch and find out just how great they are. Steadandfuller.com. Steadandfuller.com on the World Wide Web. Stead, Denson, and Fuller, if you should wish to join the party. Let's talk to E in Pelham. E, you're on Talk 99.5. What is on your mind?
What's up, sir? Happy Monday.
Right back at you, man.
Hey, big stupid question.
We can land on Mars, but we can't what?
Why can't we put some kind of gauge that tells you when your car battery is going to die and not leave you somewhere? Some kind of warning or something.
It seems to me that those two times before it quits, when you try to start it and it goes, that should be a tip-off for you. Come on, man.
I mean, if you can put it on a Duracell battery, I mean, you got to press hard and break your finger, but you would think they would put some kind of gauge, like, I don't know, like on a fuel tank. It tells you how much juice you have left.
Give you an idea of where your battery stands. That's a good point. You know, they do have the gauge now on, like, regular, what, AA and D batteries and whatnot. Duracell sells them. That's got a little gauge to tell you how much is in there. If they could put that, how much more would you be willing to spend to have that on your car battery?
Probably as much as it costs to get it jumped off. That's, you know, $50 call. So
I love it. Good point. Beautiful, E. Thank you for the call, sir. Take care. There's Ian Pelham. 545-9950-844-455-9950. Should you wish to join the party? Couple of other minor things. Yes, we're going to get into the Muppets being... I don't understand for the life of me how it can be that the Muppets are offensive, but...
Can I tell you what one of the instances that got this label was?
Save it for the next hour.
All right.
That's when we're going to examine this, but I'm looking forward to hearing it. Billy is in Homewood. Billy, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Oh, having a great day. How about you, Richard?
I am exquisite as always.
That's what I figured. Oh, big stupid question. I know this has been asked millions of times, and I'm sure the ladies have a version of it too, but why can't we find a better way to do a prostate exam?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of women out there who are like, mammograms, we could do that better, I'm thinking.
Exactly.
Probably. Yeah. Exactly. I like the way you think. Yeah, I've been down that road, and I got to go down it again, in a couple of weeks. I'm not excited about taking that road. I'll be honest with you.
Exactly. I'm due in the back this roads. Year, so, yeah.
Try this, Billy, when he comes at you with that glove on. Moon River. You know, you'll get it. Thank you, Billy. I appreciate the call. Thank you. My God. This is where we've gone. This is what we have become. This is who we are now. How sad. Good news, and I want to say, and the way this is being framed a lot in the press is not necessarily fair, although it's not necessarily unfair. The Biden administration is refocusing PPP for a couple of weeks on smaller businesses, that is to say, businesses that have fewer than 20 employees. A lot of our advertisers on this radio station fall into that category. And they have had a tough time. They've been struggling as a result of the COVID and the shutdowns and the lack of business and people turning to online and things of that nature. So if you can get a little paycheck protection program going for these guys and not have them get squeezed out by the big guys. Remember the first round of PPP and how we found out that, like, Harvard University was getting $8 million and, you know, some of these major corporations were collecting funds. There are some folks out there. I'm talking about big companies who have got entire departments that are dedicated to see if you can get your hands on this government money. Oftentimes it's grants, money you don't have to pay back. And simply by filling out the paperwork properly and getting it in a timely fashion, if you know about something and other people don't, that's all it takes for you to take advantage of a government program. And if you're a multi-million dollar national corporation or multi-billion dollar national corporation, chances are good you don't need that money. But, you know, we're paying an entire department to make sure that that money finds its way to us. So they're going to fill out the paperwork and they're going to get it in a timely fashion. And meanwhile, you got small businesses over here with 3 employees, 5 employees, 7 employees, hell, 2 employees. And you know why they're not filling out the paperwork, getting it done in a timely fashion? Number one, they're too damn busy working. And number two, they don't even know about it. They're not even aware that this program is in existence. So, of course, they're not going to be able to get the paperwork done in a timely fashion. They don't even know it's there. You know, you're talking about people that are using software and online programs and things of that nature to do their bookkeeping. I have a friend who owns a business who said, my accountant called me up when the first state grants came in and said, I'm sending you a piece of paper. I've already filled it out. You sign it, send it back to me. I'll get it to the state and you should get X number of dollars. And he said, I did. And lo and behold, I did. Like 2 weeks later, here comes a bunch of money being dropped into his account. It was awesome, but then again, that's what he pays his accountant for. And this is a guy that has 2 employees, so I know, for him, that worked out incredibly well. Not every small business has an accountant who is that on the ball. Frequently, they are the accountant, and they're the boss, and they're the main employee, and, you know, they're in charge of transportation, and they're in charge of maintenance, and they're in charge, they're the cleanup crew, they're the janitors, you know, they're a little bit of everything. Makes it sort of difficult to, A, take the time to find out about these things, and, B, fill out the paperwork in a timely fashion. So the fact that the Biden administration, a lot of this is being sold, by the way, as he's catering toward minority businesses. All right, there may be some of that going on as well. Let's not make the perfect the enemy of the good. In other words, I really don't care. If I'm going to do business with somebody, I'm walking into their store to buy something, I really don't give a rip what color the proprietor is or the color of the owners. I don't care if they're white, black, red, green, orange, yellow, purple, blue. Well, if they're blue, it may be because they're being strangled. Or they might be Smurfs. We don't know. But I can tell you this. I don't care what is going on with the race of the person. I want to transact. I want to buy something, or I want to rent something, or I want some service done, and I'm willing to exchange money for that. The color of the people who are running the joint is of no consequence to me whatsoever, but that matters to some people. So, you know, the fact that this is at least being focused on smaller businesses is a good thing. And like I said, one of the differences between Democrats and Republicans, or at least between liberals and conservatives, or at least between liberals and me, is that I will catch somebody doing something right. I don't care for almost anything Joe Biden has done as of yet. I can't point to anything that I would consider to be a success. But if this 2 weeks where they're kind of holding back the tidal wave of applications from multi-million dollar companies and focusing on these corporations, well, on these small businesses that have fewer than 20 employees, if that helps put more of this money into the hands of the people who desperately need it to keep from closing and putting them on the public dole, I'm all in favor. I think it'd be a good thing. So, look, I just caught Joe Biden possibly doing something right. We'll see how it plays out. Are the Muppets offensive? We'll address that in the next hour, as well as everything I've said about green energy and why I'm so damn right. Germany is experiencing nothing short of a disaster and a failure of their green energy program. Back in a moment. Right now, first news time. Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com.